Memorial Day is coming up. Camping season is kicking off. Maybe you're planning to head to your nearest national park. Well, if you're lucky, you might already have a reservation for a campsite in one of your favorite spots. Could be Yellowstone, Shenandoah. You might have made that reservation online at the website recreation.gov. But getting lucky may be getting harder, especially if you're lower income, less well-educated, or a person of color. Here with me now is a researcher who has studied the issue. Is reserving a campsite online equally accessible to everyone? And his conclusion? Not so much. Dr. Will Rice is an assistant professor of outdoor recreation and wildland management at the University of Montana in Missoula. Welcome, Will.
Thanks, Ira. Really happy to be here.
Nice to have you. Okay, so how hard is it to get a national park camping reservation?
It's pretty difficult. I tell my students that I don't have the data to back this up necessarily, but it's probably far easier to get Beyonce tickets.
Really? It's that difficult?
It is, yeah. So recreation.gov released a statistic last year reporting that on a given day in a popular campground, a federally managed campground, they can see up to 19,000 people vying for 57 campsites. And that's just whenever, as soon as the reservation opens. So for those folks who are at their computer at 8 or 10 a.m. waiting for that reservation to open 3 months in advance, 2 weeks in advance, whenever it opens, you have a 0.3% chance of getting that campsite. That's just if you have the free time to be at your computer to try to get that reservation. So it's quite difficult.
So that's important. And that's what you talked about in your study. You looked at cell phone data to assess who is using what kind of camping reservation system at national parks, either online reservations or first come, first serve. Tell us what you learned about that.
Yeah, so we looked at folks camping in the same campgrounds, same national park campgrounds at the same time. And the only difference between these campers, as you mentioned, is how they got into that campsite, whether they showed up and got a first come, first serve spot or a reservation only spot. And we found that those folks camping in campsites that require reservations were coming from home locales with significantly higher median household incomes than those camping the first come, first serve campsites. And in the one urban proximate location we studied just outside Washington, D.C., those camping in campsites that required reservations were coming from home locales that were significantly whiter on average than those camping in the same campground, but in the first come, first serve sites.
And so what do you show this disparity to be from?
It's free time, right? Like if you have a job that allows you to have more free time, or you have a larger network of friends, and within that network of friends, folks have the free time to be on recreation.gov as soon as those reservations become available. That's a possibility. Internet speed, again, if you have a 0.3% chance of getting one of these campsites, having faster internet certainly going to give you an advantage. Or simply institutional knowledge, so knowing that you have to make these really far in advance, which is becoming a pretty recent phenomenon. So there's lots of anecdotes when you're traveling around to the parks, people saying, oh, in 2015, you know, I just showed up and got a campsite. Now I didn't know I had to book it this far in advance. And especially as we enter, you know, an era of outdoor recreation where more and more people are interested in outdoor recreation, in some ways inspired by the pandemic, they may not have, especially if they haven't been doing outdoor recreation their entire lives, they may not have that institutional knowledge to know that I actually need to go and get a reservation 6 months in advance, or I have to have a job that allows me to plan 6 months in advance. That's extremely difficult as well. And a lot of folks don't have jobs that give them that security to say, I will be able to get off 6 months in advance.
I know you're in Missoula, which is a popular city for outdoorsy folks. Have you seen yourself how wealthier people are using their existing advantage to secure those valuable reservations?
Yeah, and this is something that's pretty broadly known. I mean, this is the problem that the National Park Service recognizes and is trying to amend. But like one of the behaviors is, let's say you are able to get on directly when the reservation's open. And let's say you don't want to be crowded in your campsite. People are booking the campsites on either side of the campsite they plan to stay in order to give themselves a little buffer room. Or if they want freedom to say, I think I want to go out whenever the weather's just right, or I'm on a road trip and I don't know exactly when I'll get there, they'll book it for 2 weeks and just stay there one night during those 2 weeks.
Really?
And then for those other 13 nights, the campsite sits vacant and folks who would want to use that campsite cannot.
So they're booking twice as or three times as many spots as they need, and they're booking for time they're not going to use it. Wow. And are national parks doing anything about this?
Well, they're trying. It's hard to say, like, oh, you don't need those three campsites, you know, when someone's making a reservation. So this is a really tricky tool from like a web development standpoint with rec.gov trying to come up with creative solutions, coming up with, in some ways, the demand for camping is outpacing camping policy, which is actually a emerging topic of conversation nationally. Right now, we're just dealing with this wicked problem that's affecting a lot of people. Two-thirds of North American residents camp. And so this affects the majority of U.S. residents.
This is Science Friday from WNYC Studios. You know, as the saying goes, there's always an app for that. So there must be an app for booking campsites, right? I mean, would that make it easier or does that exacerbate the problem?
Well, in some ways it exacerbates it. So we have rec.gov, which is a relatively user-friendly app. It's a really well-developed website. But then there's also additional websites. There are campsite cancellation notification services. So if, let's say you want to camp in a campsite in Yosemite National Park over this weekend, but there's no current availability, they will notify you as soon as a cancellation is made or as soon as reservations become available for the dates you want to camp. But for many of those services, they're charging a premium, a subscriber fee. Some people can't pay for those. So these notification services, for instance, might charge $10 a month in order to notify you whenever a campsite becomes available. And just knowing that those are out there and some folks have that advantage could be, like, based on the outdoor recreation literature we know more broadly, that could be just having that knowledge that you don't have that advantage could be pushing some people to say, well, I don't even have a shot. Like, first of all, I had a 0.3% chance of getting one of these campsites. And now there's people who have this advantage. They're able to pay additional money for, like, why would I even try?
You know, we've talked on this show about the overall inequities in access to the outdoors, where national parks are already more likely to be patronized by richer, whiter folk. Is it just the online reservation system?
Well, first come, first serve allocation strategies are not, you know, this panacea answer either. Our study just showed that they tended to have more equitable distribution than online reservation systems. But there's no perfect solution here. For instance, like in our study, we conclude that potentially the Park Service should continue exploring and piloting different types of creative lotteries to allocate campsites, because we tend to find those to be more equitable in terms of distribution. But they aren't perfect either. So that's really why I allude to this as a wicked problem. This isn't climate change. This isn't the drought we're experiencing in the West, but this is a serious problem that's affecting a lot of people. And it's one from a social science perspective that's really difficult to crack because we haven't discovered that perfect solution.
Well, you know, these are the national parks. All of our tax money, right, pays for this.
That's correct.
This should be something that would be equally available to everybody. Is there a strategy? You know, this is not like big business trying to rip you off or as much as they can for a Beyonce ticket. Shouldn't there be a way that we can all make have an equal access to this?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? And so in my field of like leisure studies, there's folks who study hospitality and tourism management. And those folks they're like, why don't we just raise the price? Well, this is a public good, right? We're supposed to be provisioning these, as you mentioned. The mandate is for all Americans. And so, yeah, it makes it really difficult. And we don't have that perfect solution right now. And that's why we're really calling for in our paper a really strong effort from the Park Service and other federal land management agencies to invest in the research that's going to be required to help overcome this problem.
But let's talk about that. How much research is there actually on camping? I understand there's hardly anything in the literature, right?
Yeah, that's what's so wild. So camping has just fallen through the cracks in terms of research. This is maybe the fourth paper I've written on camping. And each time we go to write the literature review for these papers, and it's like the literature is so sparse. And I think part of that's because it falls between the cracks of these different disciplines. But for as big of an industry as it is, for as many people that do participate in this activity, it's incredibly under-researched. And for instance, just in campsite allocation, like this study examined, we were only able to find one general technical report from 1976 the Forest Service produced that looked at inequities in campsite allocations. That this is the second study that's even examined this, and the findings I don't think are shocking to people. I think people knew this was going on, but now we're able to provide the data to really show that this is an inequitable system.
Well, we wish you great luck. May the campsites be with you in your research.
Thank you so much, Ira. Really appreciate it.
Dr. Will Rice, Assistant Professor of Outdoor Recreation and Wildland Management at the University of Montana in Missoula.